Good morning. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, here we are. Our gospel text for this Mother's Day and also the sixth Sunday after Easter will be taken from the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, and we're going to be reading from chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. My mic is on, right? Okay, that just sounds good to me, but I just didn't know if you could hear. So the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. If you're willing and able, please rise for the reading of a gospel text. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even a spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live. You also will live. In that day you know the will, that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whosoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Amen. Please be seated. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with us today, that you would strengthen us, that you would encourage us, and give us insight and wisdom and guidance in this word. Father, we thank you for all things, but most of all, life in Jesus Christ. Sanctify us in the truth, because we know, Father, your word is truth. Amen. This is an interesting part of Scripture, where Jesus is really trying to encourage his disciples. He's trying to encourage the apostles. He's just telling them in reality that you are not forgotten. We kind of live in a day and age where oftentimes we're a little ashamed. We don't want to ask for help, but we know that we could use help. You know, it's almost like, you know, your little kids are basically trying to do something. Like, say they're going to pour some juice. You know how many times you're watching the food line or at home and they grab that big jug and they're going to try to pour it and you're seeing disaster written all over us. You know, this is going to turn out bad. So you go over there quickly and you offer to help. And sometimes they're even a little resistant because they want to show their independence. But we oftentimes don't realize there is help for us. And that help, as believers in Jesus Christ, is not distant. It's not far. Actually, the helper, the Spirit of God, dwells within us by grace through faith. And so we have that opportunity. But sometimes I think, I'll only speak for myself, Jesse forgets that the Spirit is God. Sometimes we can get it in our head, well, it's kind of an image of God, or maybe it's more of a symbol. But it is God himself. That's what the Trinity means. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he resides in us by grace through faith. There's no doubt about it. And that we have that helper, that being within us. But do we think of it that way? Do we rely on our own abilities? Do we rely on our own strengths? Do we try to figure out, we can do this without all this help? Or do we actually know that we can verbally ask, even as they share in the book of Acts, that we would pray for the Spirit, that we would pray for its encouragement? Or do we even understand where the Spirit comes in and takes over in our lives? Have you ever gotten frustrated in your need of help and you didn't know what to do and you're just like, ah? That's a prayer. We may not see it that way. But it says even in Romans that really the Spirit makes intercession for us when we don't even know what to pray for. God is so desirous to have a relationship for us, It's actually wild. He created each and every one of us, whether we want to admit it or not. He created us. He gave us life. Not only that, we were lost in our sins and trespasses because of the fall of Adam. We've inherited this nature. And so he didn't want to leave us there. So he sends his only begotten Son. He, Emmanuel, God with us, comes down to this earth. And he really redeems the human race by his act upon the cross. So he gives us life. He comes and redeems this life. And then by that great act of service upon that cross, if we could say it in this fashion, he makes us worthy vessels to be able to partake in him. That we would be filled with the Spirit. Gives us life, redeems this life, and gives us the ability to live this life by the Spirit. Do you know that's who you are in Christ? That's powerful. How many times have we faced a circumstance in our life and we say, well, now what do I do? Or we look around at the chaos in this world and we become overwhelmed and say, this is too much. Do we actually know and understand that we are so privileged that we have God dwelling with us? That we can ask him. And that's really kind of more or less what he's going to bring out here. And so he kind of comes up, he's in the upper room, he's having this conversation with them. They want to know who he is, where he's going, what's going on. And so he's having more conversation with them. But he's going to promise, I am not going to leave you. You're not going to be as orphans. You're not going to be abandoned. That should bring us a great joy. Can you imagine? I mean, I get nervous like when I travel. And if I lose sight of my wife or I lose sight of someone that I'm traveling with for a few minutes, it's like, oh no, where'd they go? I don't want to lose them. I remember when we went on a cruise with a bunch of our friends and we ended up in the Dominican Republic. I remember when we were going through some of the places, because our group didn't like to go on the touristy things. They liked to see real life. And when we were walking through one of these places, I was like, I am staying close to these guys because they're way bigger than me and they're going to help me out. And when I lose sight of them, I get a little nervous. I stuck out like a sore thumb. I mean, I don't know if you know where the Dominican Republic is, but you could definitely tell I didn't belong there. Or it's kind of like one time I went to convention on the East Coast and I was flying back and I got into Chicago and they said, oh, the weather's too bad in the UP. This is in July, June. And they said, we're going to have to hold you over in Chicago for a night. They took me on some bus. They dragged me out in the middle of nowhere and they dropped me off, said, here's your hotel. I get there and I am the only white individual in this whole area. And you may say, oh, that's bad to say that. Well, it's reality. Let's face it. So I go down there, and I walk to a Family Dollar, and I walked in, and there's this wonderful Spanish lady. She's sitting at the counter ready to check people out, and I walked in the door, and she goes, what are you doing here? That's literally what she said to me. And I said, do I stick out? She goes, a little bit. I said, well, you know, I did kind of feel alone, but her conversation helped me, right? So, you know, we kind of get nervous sometimes when we lose sight. Well, Jesus is saying, I don't lose sight of you. I am always watching for you. I am always there for you. I am not going to leave you. And so he opens this text up, and I think it's very powerful in this way. If you love me. If you love me. And I would guarantee you, I guess it's a big guarantee, but every one of you here would state, yeah, I love God. I love Jesus. Well, then there's a stipulation to this, which is really interesting. And the stipulation, more or less, is if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's hard for us as human beings because we find that as conditional. But that's what would happen if we stopped reading right there. We need to continue on. We need to continue on in context of what he's saying. But he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, there are a lot of commandments that Jesus basically spoke about. And we also come into a summation of commandments, right? If we were to turn around and ask most adults, what is the summation of the commandments? We'd probably go down the road of love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and love thy neighbor as yourself. You know? And it, we'd turn around and say, and in this hangs all the law and the prophets. We've been taught that through confirmation. We've been taught that in Sunday school. We've been taught that. First, love towards God, love towards the neighbor. But Jesus, in this same gospel, he literally turns around and he says, I'm going to give you a new commandment. Now, only a God can do that, right? To make up a new commandment. But the amazing part of it is, he brings this to a more exacting manner. He turns around and he tells us straight out, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. That's huge. That's a very powerful command. Now we are to love one another as Christ has loved us. So how did he love us? Well, we know in the Easter story, right? He loved us to the end. We'll even come up with nice little sayings and say he loved us to the last drop. But what does that mean? Especially someone that's new, that's just kind of walking into a church and sitting down. It's like, what does that actually mean? What it means is that Christ loved you so much that he gave his own life in your behalf. That he surrendered his rights, his perfection, if you could say it in this way, because that's who he is. And he hung upon a cross so that you and I could live. He did not hold anything back. First thing I want to grasp out of that, do you know how valued you are? Each and every one of you is so valued that Christ came to this earth for you. That is immense. That is something that is missing in our world. You look in the political season and they turn around and they'll tell you that, oh, life isn't that important. In fact, we can get rid of life anytime we don't want or whatever. We may not say it in those words, but what do you think the abortion issue is? That in reality is life is not that important. What do you think the gender issue is? You were not made perfect. You were not made right. You know, I wonder at times what goes on in our brains, what goes on in our minds when we often, when we look at society and they turn around and they look, talk like, well, being an American is nothing special. I'm not going to say we are more holy than anybody else. But there is a privilege to be here. There is a privilege to being born in this country. And if you really want to see the side of it, as angry as we may get or as compassionate as we may get, look at the border. It is a real issue at this moment. I'm not angry at those people because they want to be often what we take for granted. They want to be here. And so there's many things in this world that deceives, that lies. There's no value in children. There's no value in life. You aren't that important. Your gender doesn't matter. This nation is really not much, but there's people in the tens of thousands thronging to come here. What I'm trying to say, if we opened our eyes and saw the reality, we are highly blessed. And we are created wonderfully. And we are made in perfection. Now, we may screw it up with our sin nature, but God doesn't make mistakes. And so you turn around and you look at this whole situation and he says, really, this is who we are. We are the children of God and we are blessed by Christ's love. We are blessed by his forgiveness. We are blessed in the redemption by his work upon that cross. And now he says, go do the same. Love. Encourage. Strengthen. Reveal who people are. We have to stop listening to the rhetoric of this world, and we have to stop being afraid of always saying, well, I can't ever rock the boat. The reality of it is that God has blessed us, and being blessed, how do we act towards this world? We love people. We encourage people. We share truth with people. You have value right where you are. You have value as you are created. You have value even with the child you're carrying, and that child has value. It's not wrong to state these things, but somehow in our society, we've gotten a little screwed up. So he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus didn't go around making everything sound like peaches and roses. He didn't mind ruffling feathers when the truth needed to come out. He didn't hate people. He didn't beat people. He didn't ostracize. But he shared truth. Why are we so afraid? So he says, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he says, I'm going to do something special. I'm going to ask the Father, and he says, and I will give. He will give you another helper. That's kind of an interesting word. Another helper. What does that mean? Well, we can first and foremost know that God gave us life. He breathed life into us. He allowed us to be born. So ultimately, he was a great help, right? We wouldn't be here without his blessing. Pretty cool. Okay, we know that we were fallen. By the fall of Adam and Eve, we've inherited this sin nature, so therefore we are fallen people. God didn't give up on us. He came in the form of Christ, and in reality, he laid down his life. He gave us an imputed righteousness. He traded places with us. We deserve to be on the cross. Jesse deserved it. But yet Christ came because he loves us, and he gave his life so that I wouldn't have to see that. So he not only gave us life, he redeemed our life, right? So then we got this other helper. Now, what do we do with that? Well, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. See, because Jesus' ministry was upon this earth for 3 years in a physical sense, Jesus knew that he had to go to the Father. And in fact, he says, you know, it is expedient, he says very plainly in the Gospels, it's very important that I go to the Father. Because if I don't go to the Father, then he cannot send the Spirit. So he needs to go and pay the redemption for the world and go sit at the right hand of the Father to be the advocate for each and every one of us, and the Holy Spirit will come and it'll be our encouragement, our teacher, our helper in our life. So, but this word other gets in there, right? Okay. How does that work with Trinity? Well, maybe this is a little confusing. But the real understanding that I could come to are a very simple way of explaining, and it doesn't do it theologically. So if there's big theologians out there, just give me grace because I'm just a simple boy. But the fact of it is, if I go to a restaurant and I order a burger, and I tell them I want this burger, and they give me the burger and it stinks. They cook it like a hockey puck. I don't want it. And they come back and say, well, do you want us to do something else? Yeah, give me another one. It's still the same thing. It probably even came from the same cow. Who knows? But the fact of it is, in other words, it doesn't mean different. It's exactly the same, but another one. And so more or less he's saying, the Father gave you life, Jesus redeems a life, and the Spirit keeps you life. And so he comes as a helper. How does the Spirit help? That's the real question. Well, we're here to celebrate Mother's Day, right? We're here to talk about mothers and brag about moms. Next month, we'll brag about dads. There's a little more to brag about today than there is in next month, but whatever. How did mother help you? You know, I'm not trying to compare mother to God, but they are our earthly stewards, as God has given them license to be. How do moms help you? Have you ever considered, you know, in fact, I see little infants in here. And so have you ever considered that that infant is totally reliant upon mother? That infant wouldn't be able to be clean. That infant wouldn't be able to eat. It wouldn't be able to do anything without mother except cry. Looking for that help. What does the Holy Spirit do in your life? Does it help you discern? Does the Spirit encourage you when things are dark? Is it like Apostle Paul when he thought that he'd go into a certain area and it says the Spirit told him, no, don't go? Or is it like in other places where Paul was going by an area and the Spirit led him to go there. Does the Spirit take an active part in your life? And see, we think sometimes, well, it's too charismatic to talk about the Spirit, and that's just foolishness. He is a living being within our life that helps navigate, if we could say it in this way. How often do we lean upon him? How often do we ask for him to encourage us, to strengthen us? What gives us a hope? Often it is the Spirit of God. And so that's really what he's saying here. He says, you know what? I am going to ask the Father. He will give you another helper. He says, and he will be with you for 3 years. Is that what it says? No, it says forever. Forever. For eternity. And this is very powerful because Jesus understands his physical ministry wasn't going to be very long upon this earth, but we would need the encouragement. Here we are 2,000 odd years later. And the same Spirit, which often gets overlooked, is encouraging us, is strengthening us. He says he will be there forever. He says, and it's even the Spirit of truth. And that seems like a question that we could be asking all day long in the world that we live in now. What is truth? We could go back to Pilate's words, right? What is truth? The Spirit will show you truth. The Spirit in reality identifies truth. He says, even the Spirit of truth, who in the world can't understand it. We get so angry because the world's so backwards. We get so angry because the world doesn't seem to catch on. They won't without the Spirit of God. They won't without Christ Jesus. They just won't get it. And you get frustrated because we want to give it to somebody. But it is revealed. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. And so I think it's huge that you're here today. Because this world needs to hear this. And this world isn't going to walk through these doors. And I'm not trying to make fun of them. They just don't realize how important this is. Look at the problems that we have. And you may think, oh, this guy is just a rhetoric of the politics going on in this day. If you don't think that we're heading towards the end times, then I don't know what else to say. I don't know when they can be. I'm not making a prediction. It could be 1,000 years from now. That's not my business. But if you can't see the chaos that's around you, and going on in lives around you, then we are blinded. We have the balm. We have, in reality, as the believers of Jesus Christ, the answer to a lot of the untruths, the answer to a lot of the heartache that people have in this world. And so he speaks very boldly. He says, the world can't receive this. Don't bang your head against the wall trying to give it to the world. The reality of it is we can share it person to person. We can pray for people. We can speak to people. We can encourage people by the power of the Spirit in our lives. How many times has God revealed that to you in conversation? How many times have you sat down to talk to somebody and all of a sudden you feel this presence of God where you're having this conversation and it's like things click? That is the Spirit. He, in reality, gives us this ability. He says, the world doesn't understand and doesn't know him, but you know him. He says, and he dwells with you, but now Christ hasn't gone to the cross yet, so he's saying that. He dwells with you. And if you look in the Old Testament, the Spirit was always upon people. Solomon, David, all these individuals. But yet, until the completion of the work on the cross, where we could be transformed, if I could say it this way, to vessels able to hold something so holy and so pure by grace through faith as the Spirit. It wasn't found within. But Christ came to give us this. He came to give us, as even Scripture says, the down payment of our salvation. And so he says, so he dwells with you, but then he adds this in there, and will be in you. Will be in you. Remember in Acts? Where he breathes on them and says, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Very, very powerful, powerful time. God has gifted us himself. God has gifted us his Spirit. He says, yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. He's talking about his death. Very straightforward. He says, you know what? They're not going to see him. He's going to go. He says, but you will see me again. He's making that promise to them, and he does reveal himself. Actually, to many people, he reveals himself. He says, but this is what I want you to understand. He says, because I live, you will live also. And really what he's trying to say is, the work that I'm going to do for you at the cross is what's going to give you the ability to live. This is true life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, true life is not out there. There might be moments of enjoyment. There might be all kinds of temporary fillings and things like that, and I'm not against them. I have a lot of temporary fillings in my life, but that is not eternity. That is not who we are. Those are moments we go through. Our life is in Christ Jesus and Him alone. And when we understand that, this world will not impact us as greatly as we think. These are just temporary dwellings, temporary fillings. And he says, I will not leave you as orphans. He says, basically what he's saying is, yeah, I'm going to go through this tough time. I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die and I'm going to be put in a tomb. He told them this many times and they didn't get it. They didn't get it. Because dead men don't get up. And someone as powerful as Jesus, in their minds, how could he ever die? He healed withered hands. He healed the blind. He made the lame to walk. He, in reality, fed the thousands. He actually raised people from the dead. He could walk on water. They couldn't grasp it because their earthly minds could not wrap their minds around it. But he still shares the truth with them. And he says, very straightforward, he says, you know what? I will come to you, because he's going to go. He says, a little while the world will see me. He says, but you will, they won't see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you live. He says, and in that day, you will know that I am in the Father. He says, and that you are in me, and I am in you. This is very, very encouraging. Very fancy way of saying, we're going to be together. I'm not abandoning you. Everything that I'm doing for you. So I want you to take that very personally today. That everything that Christ Jesus did upon that cross, he did for you, specifically. You don't need to look around the room and try to figure out who else. He's speaking directly to us. He says, I did this for you. You are that valued that I have done this work for you. He prays this in the priestly prayer too. He prays that the Father would be in him, that he would be in the Father, and that we would be in him, and that we would all be one, united. And the uniting, if we could say it this way, the glue that holds us all together is that Spirit, is God himself abiding within us. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's kind of so crazy that Paul says, you know, don't you realize that when you go off and do something stupid, he uses more of a intimacy issue. He says, when you go and do this, you're actually dragging Christ along with you. That's how close we are to God the Father through Christ Jesus by the power of the Spirit. He is there. He is present. It's not a threat. It's a reality. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He says, you will understand that we are all united together. And then he goes back to repeat his initial statement. He says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Well, there's the stipulation again. So how do you complete this? Have you always kept every single commandment? Have you been able to love your neighbor as yourself unconditionally? Have you perfected that? That'd be cool if you could. But Christ has. And in him, we have this imputed righteousness. A righteous work that we did not do. A righteousness that we didn't acquire on our own. It is a gift. A gift of God. We're going to stumble. We're going to falter. Sometimes Jesse lands flat on his face. But God is consistent. God loves us. He picks us up and says, keep going. Keep going. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this world can't fix our problems. Our government can't fix our problems. We can't just on a whim decide to change who we are. We, in reality, have an identity. God has perfectly and wondrously made each and every one of us. Yes, there may be some fleshly screw-ups, no doubt about it. That's how we are. We're fallen. But God gives us the ability to work through our fallenness. God gives us the ability to live as his child, as perfect or as imperfect as we may be. Our answers aren't in our medications. Our answers are not in our hormone therapies. Our answers are not in our abortions. None of those are our answers. Our answer is in Christ Jesus and him alone. He has created us as his children. He has given us the equipment we need. And he has cherished us so much that he has redeemed us and given us life. He's come. Think about it. He says that in the Gospel of John. I've come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. Are we living it in abundance? Are we living it in joy? And do we find peace in him? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think so, because I'm pretty pig-headed. I think that I'm right. But you're not going to find it out there. It's not out there in the world. They're not even happy with themselves. You leave half of those legislatures in a room alone and they'll rip each other apart in no time. That's just the way it is with human beings and our fallen nature. But God has called us beyond that. And God has tried over and over and over to tell you very personally, do you know how precious you are? Do you know how good you are? Not by your own devices, but he has created. And what he has created, he has called good. Brothers and sisters, don't stare at the stains. Look to the finished work of Jesus Christ. Know him, and to know by his Spirit, we are encouraged. Ask the Father to lead you by his Spirit. Ask the Father to reveal his word by his Spirit. Ask the Father to show you who you are as a child of God. Because if we can come to that understanding, we can impact the world around us that is seeking so blindly. Once again, I'm not trying to be a doom and gloomer, but if we can't see the writing on the wall, we are definitely blind. May God be glorified, may we be transformed, and may he continue in the love that we have for him to reveal himself. That's what manifest means. Reveal himself to us. May we know each and every day of who he is, so that we can know who we are. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.